Is Data a blessing or a curse? Brought to you by Adastra, this is a must-listen podcast that inspires and advises people who are serious about digitalization. Do you believe master data management is dead? You couldn't be more wrong. Companies have more data than ever before and rely on it. More than ever. But master data management is evolving. How? I'm gonna talk about it today with Petr Žáček, Director of Product Management at Atacama. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Atacama delivers an AI-powered data management platform, so you must know a lot about master data management. So why is the question, is master data management dead, still on table?
So I think it's because it evolves in a very subtle way. Right now, all of the focus is on new technologies, AI, and I think we will be talking about AI. But for master data management, it is a discipline, is a part of the data management, data governance that is sort of established. Companies understand that it exists, they have to do it. They to some extent extend what needs to be done, but we will be of course talking about that as well. And it's not seen as this new emergent technology, something that's disrupting the industry, something that's disrupting the way how they will be working with the data. It could be seen as this, let's say, old way of managing data, this more like a conservative approach of like making sure everything is correct, everything is governed, everything is controlled. And that may kind of sound to some people as, you know, that it's stale, that it's not evolving anywhere, and that maybe there needs to be some replacement. But in the end, I think what's essential is to really understand that the master data management, it's about managing of master data. So as long as we will have master data, and we will always have some master data, we will need some master data management, whether it's a tooling or it's a discipline. And I think that part of that is also that people are, or companies in general, are exploring new technologies and are thinking about the ways how to replace what they have been doing in master data management tools before. So then they might be thinking about, yeah, master data management is dead because we have this different way of approaching things. In the end, they are still doing master data management, of course, but maybe they are trying to do it with a slightly different approach. The concepts and the principles will always be the same. So then it's more up to us, companies such as Atacama, to really come up with a good product, good approach to really provide the MDM tooling, the tools that will help with the master data management, that will not be too complex, too big to implement, and that will actually guide people in the right direction.
So what could be that is specific tool for master data management, if it's out of date, etc., but master data management as discipline will be still here, right?
Exactly. And I think with the tooling, it's also about people thinking about MDM as this big IT project with lots of complexity, lots of technologies of different implementations, big projects. And maybe that is to some extent that. Maybe we don't want to approach it like this because, of course, we also have the experience that the longer the MDM implementation project lasts, the more there is a danger there will be some problem, that it will fail, that it will not deliver what it promised. But if you are fast to deliver, fast to prototype some solutions and actually bring some business value, then it's much easier to actually, you know, onboard people onto the master data management program and actually allow them to understand what is the benefit. So then when you're not using MDM tool, but you're maybe using a set of different tools to achieve this goal, you might be thinking that master data management is dead. Then, of course, we can be talking about all of the, let's say, technological aspects, and there is a reason why there are MDM tools, of course, because even though master data management is a business problem in the end, the enablement is the technology. It is hard. You may have millions, billions of records that are describing some people, products, some real entities in the real world, and you need to understand them, you need to retrieve them, you need to analyze them, you need to improve them.
You need to understand the data, right?
Just exactly.
Too simple said.
Exactly, but you also need to do lots of additional actions. So part of the master data management is obviously also curation of the data, improvements, and the matching and merging of records across the data sets, the identification basically of unique records. And this is something that is very hard to do. It is like a hard technological problem because in the end, it will be also about, you know, about speed, about time. Like you don't want to wait for a week till you get understanding of all of your master data in your systems. You're expecting that you will get response within seconds or milliseconds. And for that, you kind of need some kind of tool, whether it will be MDM tool or some specialized unification engine, whatever you call it, that's up to the question. But there will always be a need to do something like that.
If you should describe MDM or master data management in a short sentence, what is it?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if there is really like a short description. For me, I think the way how I'm looking at it is that MDM really is a discipline in data management and data governance that allows us to really make the connection of the data to the real world. Because in the end, master data, like that's what you're putting on invoice. It's the names of the customers. It's what about it's about your products. It's about where you're billing your suppliers or vendors and all of that. So this is what really allows the business to understand all of the other data that they actually gather. Because without master data, all of the transactions that you have, I mean, not that they are meaningless, but you're not really getting information from them. You're not really getting value. So master data management in the end is really how to connect the data to the real world and understand how the business is affected by the data and how it connects to the data.
You've mentioned many ways how to look at master data management. So what is master data management not?
It's not just a set of features. So what we have seen in the past is basically organizations thinking about MDM as in, oh, that's the application of the data for our CRM, or that is the identification of customers in our data warehouse one time, and then we will be good and we don't have to worry about it anymore. In some cases, actually going from the other way around. Sometimes it's about having a system that actively kind of enforces certain policies and prevents you from creating some wrong data. So it's some sort of centralized system, usually used for, let's say master product data when companies are creating something. So they are creating their product information, distributing to other systems. So then they will be thinking about master data system as the system that basically keeps all that information. It's the single source of truth, and it's not allowing them to do anything wrong. And I would say these are like two different approaches to a very similar problem. In the end, it's a combination of these approaches, and it also depends on the data domain. So again, with the products that we are creating as a company, yeah, we can afford to actually have a system where we are enforcing all of the policies and making sure it has the, I don't know, correct code and correct classification. But if it's about people, then in the end, there will be someone coming to the front desk office, creating some requests, giving you name, email address. And the record exists, it represents someone real, and you do need to connect it with existing data. So it's going from two different angles, consolidation and some maybe centralization to some extent. And historically, we have seen people thinking about MDM as only part of that, or maybe as a specific use case, specific feature. But I would say that it's really all of this together, allowing us to really get the correct data at the end. And the way how we get there depends on the use case and depends on what we are trying to achieve.
Where was MDM 5 years ago?
I will have to remember a little bit because, of course, 5 years ago, I was mainly working as a sales engineer, actually working with our customers, with our prospects, kind of discussing with them their needs and what they expect from MDM. And I would say that 5 years ago, it was still, how to say it, it wasn't in a position as it is right now where people are thinking about it a bit more about as an like established discipline, established process, and maybe there isn't that much to discover. I think they were still looking around different technologies, looking around different approaches. I would say that the emergence of like all of the, for example, graph databases used for MDM, that is kind of like a 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And I think it was still seen mainly as a IT problem, but we have definitely seen people trying to approach it more as a business problem. What I mean by that is that they were trying to really find tools and find solutions that will allow the business users to focus on what they need without being worried that much about the technical implementation. But I think it wasn't ready then. Like the tools weren't really ready and the organizations weren't ready, because there is this idea that if you will just give the tools to the business users, they will somehow be able to, you know, do what they need, and they wouldn't really need to know that much about what's happening under the hood, which is true to some extent, but they do need to, let's say, have the ownership of the data. They need to understand that the data is not there just because some tool provided it to them. The data is there for them to refine, for them to actually work with it. And I think that not all organizations were ready for that. But of course, that also depends on the industry. Some industries were far ahead in banking, in insurance.
Yeah, telcos probably.
Exactly. It was much better. And then you had all of the companies that were basically going through the digital transformations, understanding that, oh, we actually have lots of data, we are growing, so we need to do something. And then they were trying to find out what to do. And they were actually coming from, in many cases, they were coming from a place where they were using very specified software for what they were doing, some ERP tools, basically giving them exactly what they need. And when they switch to this, let's say, higher maturity level of the data governance, they realize that it's not just about having a tool specifically for their business, it's actually about managing the data itself. And they had to establish the data teams, people that were just focused on the data, not on, you know, the marketing usage of the customer records, but actually on making sure the customer records were correct. And that was a mindset switch that they had to do. And some are still doing that, I think.
What are your most important findings when you talk to your clients?
I guess it would depend really on what clients, of course, where they are coming from, and what they need, and if they have any experiences, or if they are, again, from this category of clients that grew in the last few years, realized that there is something they need to do, and they try to find some new solution. So it will always like depend on really the situation. I guess lately, and I think that we would like to again touch it in more detail around the AI, but I would like to maybe say it right now. We have seen people excited about how AI will help them with mass data management, and it will help them. But there was, I think, some expectation that...
disappointment, maybe.
Well, expectation will help them in a way, in a much, let's say, much more complex way, that it will actually do the things for them. It will, you know, change the industry completely. It will change the way how they are working with it. And then they realize that, yes, it can do lots of things, but ultimately the master data are so important and such an important asset that they need to understand what happened with them. They need explainability. They need to understand, who did what decision, how the data actually came to be to this specific format that they are using right now. And they realize that, well, maybe AI won't be solving all of that. So now they are realizing that the solution is somewhere else. It's really in AI providing automation whenever it was not possible before, but still kind of going in the direction of having a very well-defined and fine-tuned system that's just providing the master data or managing the master data for them. And it's, to some extent, like the tool itself under the hood can be kind of dumb. Like it can be really just the automation of some predefined logic, but getting to that logic, that's exactly where AI can help, basically deriving all of the complexity, preparing the system, but then the system itself doesn't necessarily need to be something that's dynamically reacting to all of the changes in the data, because you have to go through the process. Like if you're changing something about the customer information, it can't just, appear suddenly in the system with an explanation, AI did it. That's just no go for majority of the companies. So I think that that's interesting. I think people or companies are realizing this. So I'm not even seeing too many requirements around, out of the box AI driven data application of data, because they started to realize that, yeah, we need the automated data application, but we also need to understand why that happened, how to prevent some problems in the future, and how to make sure that we can then report on that to some regulatory authority. So
you've mentioned AI a few times. Would you say that AI could be some kind of game changer or disruption for MDM, for master data management, from that perspective? I mean, that the companies start seeing how important the master data management is?
So I think this is basically two-part, this answer. So first of all, companies seeing how important master data is? Yeah, absolutely. Because with AI, I think everyone is again repeating the good old mantra, garbage in, garbage out. And if AI doesn't have good data to work with, then the results won't be as great. So the understanding that, yes, we need the data to be in order, we need a good master data, but also we need good data quality, we need a good understanding of the lineage of the data, like all of the things that will kind of relate to this use case. Customers are realizing that this is important for AI, and they can only leverage AI if they will have the data in order. So this is definitely a big topic for now and for the future. And then as for the MDM itself, I'm one of those that don't expect like a big disruption of the MDM itself in the following few years. What I expect is basically really improvements and acceleration of the existing processes to some extent. So something I was describing before.
But you mean processes on customer side?
Exactly. So I mean the AI really helping with all of the boring and sort of long things that where you have to just click around, configure data models, configure, I don't know, various setups, data types, like all of these things that you had to do to establish master data system. Maybe you don't need to do it manually. Maybe you have all of the information somewhere around. So what AI can do is obviously understand if you, let's start from the beginning. So if I understand all of my data systems, then normally some, I don't know, consultant or some, implementation expert would come in, analyze the systems, discuss with the business, of course, and the business analyst what they need, and then they will derive like how the MDM solution should actually look like. Well, maybe we don't need to do this in this way. Maybe you just need to capture the information about the systems. Maybe we need to capture information about the requirements from the business. And maybe AI is here to help us connect these things and help us generate or at least pre-generate certain configurations. So really something that would take a month, we can get there in a day, and then we can just fine tune it and maybe do more prototypes and kind of understand, okay, this is the good direction, this is bad direction, and we can get much faster to some value from the system. And since it's also, this approach wouldn't require such a technical expertise because AI can guide you through the process, it's something that can really empower some of the business users, some of the users that wouldn't be as technical, but they need the data, they need to see the impact of the data and the impact of the master data.
But if I understand it correctly, it doesn't mean that you are able to replace the data ownership. You
exactly.
cannot replace how people understand the data and what is it about, right?
Yeah. I think the understanding is something where AI can help, of course, but the ownership, that is essential. And again, with master data, very often we are dealing with some personal information. And lately, with all the regulations, of course, that's super important to understand like how your personal data look like, what are you managing, and who actually owns the process, who owns the systems, like where is it actually stored or where is it used. So AI can help us in pointing out, the owners, or helping us, again, find out what would be maybe a good setup. But ultimately, there will be people owning the data. And there's also the aspect of really the computational complexity, which I think it's still like interesting to think about, because sometimes when people think about AI, they think about it as, yeah, it's like almost like a magical, system that will allow us to do everything and it will be super fast and super quick and everything. But again, if we have millions of records, if we are integrated with 20 systems, if we are expecting real-time responses, it is something that the language model will not be able to handle. Like, it will be able to handle the task, but it will not handle it within several milliseconds. So ultimately, there will be some systems underneath, some engines, some storages that need to really deliver the real data, the real value. So the AI can help there in really setting it up, making sure it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. But AI itself, the machine learning models or language models, will not be really analyzing and improving the data. They will be just providing the guidance to the dumb engine and the good old automated engine.
Can AI, for example, solve the problems with poor data quality?
It can help. So, definitely, AI can do lots of things that we didn't expect many years ago, of course, for the data quality improvement. So if I will have incomplete data, for example, then we have already kind of prototyped approaches to enrich the data sets with either some, you know, third-party sources or some data from, I don't know, some public domain with some maybe like demographics data and so on. So we can really...
Maybe from just other systems from the same company,
systems,
right?
Other systems, of course.
So you can like break the silos.
Exactly. You can do that. But at the same time, again, you are very often looking for some explainability, transparency, and understanding what's really happening. So the AI can really help, again, in establishing the process. So if I will have, for example, a system or some engine that's able to fix the data, maybe there's, I don't know, some set of cleansing and enrichment rules, then the question really is how the rules should look like and where they should be applied, which is a completely different question than how should this particular record look like. And the AI is able to maybe set up the system a little bit faster and a little bit more, maybe even set it up in a more stable way than a bunch of people that would be analyzing the systems manually. And it can really help with this. So it's really, again, to some extent, I think the AI in this space is helping people to communicate with the system to some extent. It's really the partner for them. It's not the solution. It's another set of consultants just hidden in a machine, kind of helping you around, helping you with what you need to do, giving you some advices, and then doing things for you. But it's not necessarily the system that will, you know, just fix everything on one click.
On the other hand, what you are talking about, will this require maybe more senior people at the end, really understanding what is it about, what the data is about in the company? Because, you know, if I understand it properly, you need like to confirm or validate what AI suggests.
You don't always need to, of course, validate everything, but you absolutely need to have
The result, I mean.
Exactly. You need to have the process, or you need to have some way how to verify that everything is fine. And would we need more senior people? I wouldn't necessarily call them more senior. I would say that it's just the focus of those people that will shift. They will not be focused on dealing with, I don't know, again, data types definitions, data models, access to the systems, like deciding how particular data quality rules should look like. They will be free to think about the big questions, about the strategic questions, about the tough questions. So I think that's really what should be changing in organizations, basically freeing the hands of all of the people that are in the data teams, so they don't have to deal with stereotype and menial tasks, but they can easily focus on the big topics and actually think about what they need to achieve and then use the AI to accelerate that path and get there faster. And maybe one thing I would like to add to the data quality is that where AI can definitely help is on the input of the data to the systems. So this is something that data quality is dealing with all the time, or mass data management as well, of course. And it's people entering data somewhere. Somewhere and somehow, of course. We all know that when you're accessing some free Wi-Fi, it's asking for the email and it's kind of like validating if the email is correct or not. But it's just validating if you have the ad in there and proper domain. In the end, you can put anywhere you want. And then this data is, again, kind of like garbage. Like, you can't really use it for anything. And this can happen anywhere. It can happen in, you know, in some branch of some bank when someone is entering the data and there will just be a mistake. And AI can actually help with that quite a lot, because we're not talking about millions of records being processed at the same time. We're talking about one specific record with some context, with some information. And AI can be the sort of, again, guide, some assistant to whoever's entering the data to make sure that we are improving it on the input. Unfortunately, data will always deteriorate, so it's not a solution, but it's definitely something that will help.
How will cloud or multi-cloud strategy impact MDM?
I think that is to some extent still yet to be seen, because definitely many companies are moving to cloud. They are moving all of their data to cloud, and they are expecting to do MDM in the cloud.
And some of them are moving from one cloud to another.
As well, yes. But there are also companies that they don't think that they can afford it. But I don't mean money-wise. I mean, again, risk-wise. So they are just worried about regulations, worried about various policies. And this creates this really not just multi-cloud, but really multi sort of deployment cloud environment where you have some systems that are on-premise, some systems that are in cloud, some systems that are in another cloud, and so on and so forth. And for MDM, of course, at some point, you do want to get data to one place to understand them in, you know, in their full extent. And it is something that's getting a little bit more complicated right now in these kind of setups. And what adds to that is that lots of the, let's say, country-specific regulations are actually quite different, or everyone has their own specific things. So if you have a multinational company that's operating in the US, in Europe, and in China, for example, then that's a mess. You basically have to make sure that certain data will never leave certain geographies. And then the question is, can you actually do a proper MDM on top of that? Or do you have to rely on, let's say, more localized version of MDMs, which is kind of oxymoron, but kind of, you know, rely on that and then maybe do some high-level consolidation without using the core data. So what is possible, for example, is to do like a small MDM in one geography, another small MDM in another geography, and then make sure that you have a way how to get the data to a central location without maybe compromising some of the sensitive data, and just make sure you will have this overview that, yes, this person actually exists in both of these systems. But that's kind of it. That's everything that you will be
and
able to
do. Is this possible?
I think it is. We have various ideas how to do that. I don't think that any sort of solution that's on the market can really do this seamlessly. It's always about some customization and some like project work around that. But I think it can be done. And another thing is that if we're not talking about really some very specific and tight regulations, such as, for example, data not leaving some geography, but if we're talking about the internal policies and let's say regulations of the company itself and their concerns about cloud, then what I believe will change is that people will start trusting cloud a little bit more, because they will realize what it really means to go to the cloud. And what I mean by that is that several years ago, there was this big, people thought that everyone is going to the cloud because it's cheaper and it will be great and they wouldn't have to worry about the infrastructure. And what happened is that they basically took their tools, they somehow shifted them and lifted them to the cloud. Then they realize they still have to actually somehow manage it because they didn't change anything in these systems and these applications. So they still had to spend some time on that. But suddenly they realized that maybe they actually fired most of their people that were, you know, working on that before. So now they had to actually outsource that. And suddenly it got more complicated, and they actually realized that they are not saving any money. So there was actually, let's say, some trend where some companies were getting back from cloud to on-prem because they realized that it's actually better for them because they are in more control. What I failed to realize is that cloud is not just about not having infrastructure, but it's also about, it's a whole different paradigm of how do you manage the data and how do you work with these sort of applications.
And how you access the data, right?
How you access the data as well. But for example, security is always a big topic. So if you have security needs and you are on-prem, you can set up lots of things, but in the end, you are kind of reinventing the wheel every time you do it, because you have to make sure that everything is properly satisfied and you are the one who are in control of that, so you are responsible for it. When you're moving to cloud, there is a way how to use, let's say, proven tools, proven services that the cloud providers provide to their customers. There is this concept of some shared responsibility where the cloud providers are sort of guaranteeing that certain parts of the data security is on them, and certain parts, such as good configuration of the system, is on the customer. And if all of this is properly done by both parties, then it's actually very safe, and it could be actually much safer than having the data on-prem. And this mindset shift to kind of understand that it's not just about moving data to cloud, it's actually about leveraging all sorts of different technologies that already exist, and they don't have to reinvent them, they can just reuse them. This is what will help organizations to move to the cloud a little bit more faster. Unfortunately, it's not for everyone, and I mean that from the point of the size and from the, again, data maturity. Like, cloud is great for scaling, but if you are a small company that's just creating some, I don't know, set of products that you are selling on some local markets, yeah, maybe you don't need to go to cloud because of that. But maybe in that case, you want to go to cloud because you want to, save money on the servers. So there are always different considerations, but I think cloud will be, of course, the future for the MDM, but not for the reasons that it will be like cheaper or anything like that, but for the reasons that it will actually be much better. There will be much better tools, much better technologies, because we will be reusing existing things, we will be sharing the best practices, and we will make sure that the data is really secure, and we wouldn't have to deal with some local leaks because someone messed up the security on their local system.
How can we measure the success of MDM strategy?
So this is one of my favorite topics, because with the MDM tools, it's always the question, how do you prove the value and how do you see it in the tool? And I'm always saying, well, you don't see it in the tool. You will always see it somewhere else. The impact is visible somewhere downstream when you actually finally have the good data, and you will suddenly realize that, you know, something is better. And that something can be lots of things. So my like favorite example, which is actually quite old, but it's from a company that was literally creating some products, some sports equipments, and they were literally sending like a physical catalogs to their customers. So like, I don't know, it's like 100 pages of catalog of all of the things they can sell them. And they had problems with their addresses. So they were like really losing money on sending catalogs either to, I don't know, multiple catalogs to the same address or missing some addresses. And basically it was like a physical sort of proof that there's something wrong with the data. And when they started to fix that, they had a physical proof that something is improving with the data. But it's a very specific case. In many cases, it's very hard to prove it, or like to set it up in advance and then really prove it after some time. And it's always essential to have some use case, some pain point that you are trying to solve before you start the master data management sort of implementation or strategy. So this is also one of the things that we have seen as a, let's say, a way how to fail MDM, is just to say, well, we need MDM because everyone is doing MDM. Like, that will not really lead anywhere, because it will be disruption for the people. They will hate it. They will hate the project. They will hate that they have to do things differently. And if you will not have this specific thing that you're trying to prove, then it will be very hard to do it, basically.
So you should have few cases, few hypotheses,
exactly,
to test them with the proper data, proper managed data, right? And just see before and after. Or compare before and after.
Basically.
But you are able to do that in like 1-2 years, right? After.
That's the thing. Yes, that's the
developing the data management tool.
That's the complex thing. Sorry. Yeah, it usually takes some time. Yeah. So again, there are like certain cases where it could be a little bit faster, where you could measure, you know, how much time people are spending on fixing certain data. And then you can see, oh, we implemented it, and suddenly they don't spend as much time on doing that. I think that if the company is like working with, let's say, customer data, or there's some, let's say, element of customer satisfaction in their business, they can actually, like, if they play it right, they can see it much faster, because the bad master data management could be a big source of customer dissatisfaction. So everyone knows that no situation when you go to the bank, they will tell you that you have some address, you will tell them, no, I actually moved, I have a different address, so you will change everything on the branch, and then you will go to the bank in half a year, and it's again the old address, and they will tell you that they sent you something to that old address, and you're just annoyed that you just told them, so you will do it again, and maybe it will happen again. And that's really that you will be annoyed, you will, you know, be angry at the bank, maybe you will actually leave. And it's those small details, when you understand the customer, you know, understand the data, and when you can actually provide some additional insight maybe into what customer is doing and what they need, is where you will see some of these benefits. But again, it's hard to quantify when you take a look at it, you know, in like after you implement the MDM. It's always important to have that sort of established at the beginning and know what you're trying to solve, and really have some first project, first use case, where you know that you can prove the value. Another good example are really some, let's say, regulations and the need to create various reports about, well, the data or about what the company is doing. And you can be spending lots of time in fixing the data for the report. So if you actually have the data in better shape from the master data system, then you will see immediately that you actually, you know, are not spending as much time on that, and you can quantify that.
Petr, thank you for sharing your insights with me today.
All right, thank you for having me.
This was Petr Žáček, Director of Product Management at Atacama. Follow the Adastra Digital website on LinkedIn, Facebook, and most importantly, subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google. This is Iva Karhanová from Adastra, signing off.